saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. For you are the one I praise. You are the one I praise. Heal me, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. For you are the one I pray.
A final reading from our text tonight. Honor the Lord, your heavenly beings. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, glory! The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hope this is relatable tonight. But I was reading that and reading, meditating, much like you have been. And I was thinking about the power of God's voice and the beauty of God's voice and how it can bring everything into creation and do all kinds of good. How it has the power to strip and bear and build up and reclaim and remaster and remold. And I got to thinking, what kind of voice has that kind of power these days? And it struck me, it was about 32 years ago, on a day just like today, that I was standing on 2 feet, footprints that were painted on the ground, just like this. I had army fatigues on and a duffel bag over my shoulder, along with 300 other men. We were waiting to get on a truck to be taken to basic training. And so we're standing there, and to my surprise, what pulls up is several semis pulling cattle trailers. You've seen them on the highways where the cows, they're transported cows. That's what pulled up. And I'm thinking, well, that's odd. And the driver says, load them up. And the sergeant in charge opens the doors and says, get on board, with a few other words. And we all start to pile in. And we think we've got it full, and he screams, and the next thing you know, we get another 20 people on board. And the doors shut, and we're on our way. 12 minutes it took to get from the headquarters reception area to the barracks where basic training would begin. 12 minutes I stood there, because you couldn't sit, you could only stand. I stood there, riding, holding on, bumping into this guy, bumping into that guy, thinking, is this what it's come down to? I have become a side of beef. And the next thing you know, the truck stops, and the doors open, and then I hear the mighty voice. Now, mind you, it wasn't the mighty voice of God. It was the mighty voice of 12 drill instructors. Pressed fatigues, super sharp creases, starched to the max. Boots that had a polish or spit shine on them you could see your reflection in. And a round rim brown hat, a drill instructor's hat. And I heard these voices calling us by names that weren't on our name tags. You know, maggot and, you know, stuff like that. And they get us out of the truck and they're yelling, get in formation, dress right, dress, eyes front, all this stuff. And we're like, what's he saying? Yeah, but like, we're so scared, you're just standing there, right? And I won't say that I'm like super smart, but I was on to what they were doing. And so I had to really control myself and not giggle, because they were there to strip us of the worldly ways, to strip us of our physical overages, to strip us of everything that was not or could not be used by the army. You see, the whole goal in basic training is to strip a person down and then build them back up. And it seemed like the drill instructors were intent about making that first impression, picking on the weak, picking on the overweight, picking on those who wanted to buck the system, those who laughed. Like, one person next to me got in trouble for laughing. You know, the next thing you know, he's doing 50 push-ups. And I'm thinking, oh, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh, you know. Within minutes, we became highly attuned to those voices of the drill instructors. I think about the scripture tonight and how the opening of that scripture is like God's voice is thunder. It's powerful. It has the ability to strip a wilderness, to bend trees. It takes me back to basic training and in the goal and objective of the drill sergeant to strip away anything that couldn't be used for the sole purpose of building us back up. And what's striking to me is the last few verses about the true nature of God's voice, how it delivers a blessing, how it delivers peace, how it delivers hope, how we are to worship. Yes, God's voice has all that power, the power of thunder, the power to move mountains, to the power to bend mighty oak trees. But I don't know about you, but any time God has spoken to me, He hasn't spoken to me in a voice like a drill sergeant. It's been a gentle whisper. It's been a simple offering, a nudging. Will you consider? Will you follow? Will you lead? even in the midst of my darkest moment, when I was ready to jump off a bridge, God showed up, and it wasn't a voice yelling at me. It was a simple invitation. Go home, I'm not through with you yet. I think sometimes there's a mix of Old Testament and New Testament. And we can allow the fear of the Old Testament, the fear of that thunderous voice, to drive our intentions, when instead we should be focusing on the tender voice of Jesus and how he shows up. In the voice of reason, in the voice that, while on a cross, says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could have used his thunderous voice. He could have spoken and stricken them all dead, but instead, he spoke tenderly. He asked for mercy and forgiveness. Where are you today in hearing God's voice? Which voice is it that you're hearing? Is it the voice that is asking you to leave something behind? Is it the voice that is inviting you to go on a journey? Is it a voice inviting you to potentially change your life? Is it a voice asking you to forgive someone? Is it a voice asking you to serve someone? I invite you to ponder that for a moment. What voice are you hearing today? Joanne, I hope you hear this voice. Can you come up here for a moment, please? Things that I would like to do this year during the Taizé service is give people an opportunity to participate in worship. Whether it's speaking, whether it's sharing in the communion, or something as bold as this. I think what can get lost sometimes when a pastor is always doing stuff is the meaningfulness behind some of the things that we do. One of the most powerful things in ministry, I believe, is having the sacred opportunity to bless the elements and to share them with you. But what I just came to realize tonight is I'm always the one breaking the bread. And so I will consecrate the elements, and I'm going to ask you, Joanne, when it comes time to breaking the bread, to actually break it. Because I think it becomes so powerful of a moment when you break the bread and realize that we are the ones. When Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you," we are the ones that are caused him to be grateful enough to be broken. And so on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he gave thanks and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken out of love for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." Rebecca, would you please come? And he took the cup. And once again he gave thanks, blessed it, and said, "Take, drink, for this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the new and everlasting covenant poured out for you and for many." Till we come to the table. Sometimes we come with burdens or obstacles or pain, but we come and we would pray that God would pour out his Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that they would be for us the body broken and the blood poured out for us. Out of love, offered in forgiveness, that as we partake, we become one with Christ, one with each other, and one with the world. This is what we pray in Jesus' name, as we pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Just a couple simple housekeeping rules, not really rules, but offerings. First, we have a gluten-free station here if that meets your dietary needs. Second, please know that there's no membership required to the church or any worshiping body to come and participate, to come and receive the grace. All are welcome to the table. And finally, I don't want to leave the breaking of the bread solely on Joanne tonight. So as you come forward, tear off a piece of your own bread as a symbolism of the breaking of the body. And then dip that into the cup. And hear the words, "The body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you." All are welcome. The invitation has been set. The table is ready. Come as you are. Come as you're willing. Come as you're able.
Jesus, I come to the cross.
I just realized how big of a risk I took inviting two people up to participate without conferring with them beforehand. So thank you, both of you, for saying yes. But I'll put this invitation out there. If you'd like to participate in communion during a Taizé service, see me beforehand, or I will see you beforehand and invite you so that it's not spur of the moment, so you're somewhat prepared. Deal? But isn't that like God, to take risks, right? I mean, think about it. He took the risk of giving us the job of sharing his love with the world. Amen. What a risk. What a risk taker. All on the basis of love. And so I leave you with this blessing tonight. Whether you could relate to the the message or the story or not. Maybe there was some part in the service where you heard the mighty, powerful voice of God speak to your heart. And if that is so, I'd say mission accomplished and amen. Go in peace and hope and love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.